But during the Abad Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim had said that a person should view Chesed like doing business. If a person doesn't have time to do the Chesed himself, so just like he hires people to take care of other things in his business, so he should hire someone to take care of his Chesed. V'chol inyan zeh shedibanu inenu davka b'yishamid. And all of this is not only a wealthy person. V'chol adam yasek. And everyone should do this. Af mishenenu amid. Even someone who's not wealthy, yitzamtzem achat l'achat b'mshech hazman l'afrish ma'revach shemarviach. Over time, each time he makes a profit, he should put a little bit of money aside. V'chasher neverim yirtza Hashem l'kaman. As we will explain later, the Chafetz Chaim will actually explain to us the halachos of Meiser a little bit later. V'lasot mizeh gmach katan kavua beveto shel asara rublei chesef. A person should establish a permanent gmach in his house. You can't have a gmach that gives loans for $10,000, so have a gmach that on a steady basis lends $100. You don't have $100 today? Well, slowly put together each time you put aside a little bit of your profit until you have enough money to have a steady gmach that lends money or lends something else. So slim rublei chesef, kol echad lefiyoko. Every person in accordance with what he can do. When we got married, so I needed to put in a mezuzah. I didn't have nails. I didn't have a hammer. Okay, so you buy a hammer at some point. You buy nails. I needed to build the sukkah. I didn't have a drill. So that's when we bought a drill. Instead of buying wood, I took wood that people threw out and I sawed it into the right size. So now I had a saw. Well, it was cheaper to buy a saw for 250 shekel than to buy all the wood. And then I said to myself, I can make a gemach of tools. So for the last 5 years, I have a gemach in my house of lending out tools. Every person can make a gemach for something. It's not a big deal. I initially said to myself, what do I need it for? Who's going to want to borrow my saw and my drill and my hammer? You'd be surprised. Almost a month doesn't go by that I lend someone the saw and the drill and the hammer. And sometimes it's professionals that's their parnasa. They don't have a saw. When we were expecting the first child, I went out and started buying books on pregnancy. I didn't know anything about pregnancy. I read one book and I wasn't happy. I read another book, I wasn't happy. I read a third book, I wasn't happy. So I ended up with 5 books. I went to used bookstores, bought them for like 10, 15 shekel. And then after my wife gave birth, so we wanted to learn more about nursing. So again, I went to the used bookstore, bought a book for 15 shekel, bought another book for 15 shekel. After a period, I had 10 books on nursing, another 10 books on pregnancy. I said, what am I going to do with all these books? So we started a gemach. Now we have a gemach in the house on books on pregnancy and books on nursing. It's very interesting to have such a gemach, because you're the first to know when a couple's expecting. sometimes you could set up all kinds of gemachs where you don't even expect it. But if you look around, you see, wait a second, I have something that other people could use. It wasn't easy finding the books on this in used bookstores, but now that I have them, so why not? And every person could look around and see, I have things that I could lend out.
So how did you let people know that you have a gemach for tools and a gemach for pregnant people?
It was easy, because in Merkaz Arav, they have a yeshiva phone book. And in the yeshiva phone book, in the back, they have a list of gemachs within the yeshiva. But the truth is that here in Israel, you can see a most beautiful thing. If you take a phone book, or if you take the Madricha Haredi, the Haredi phone book, in the back, you have a whole section of like pink pages for gemachs. Maybe 70, 80 pages, just gemachs. Gemachs for diapers if you run out of diapers. Gemach for medicine if you run out of medicine and you can't get to pharmacy or it's Shabbos. A gemach for a kala. Gemach, any type of gemach you could imagine exists. Gemach for the little candles that you take down the aisle to the wedding. That they every gemach. Gemach for a pillow for a baby for a bris. The pillow they put the baby on. Every type of gemach you can imagine, because people are doing what the Chafetz Chaim said here. I don't know of any other country where you have a whole section in the yellow pages, gemach. People are looking to do kindness. So we could be there too. Every person has to think, what can I do? But every one of us has something you could do. You have to take into account that when you do gemach, it involves, as the Chafetz Chaim said earlier, a certain amount of toil and a certain amount of loss. At one point, the computer wasn't working quickly enough, and to fix up the laptop would have cost as much as it cost to get the netbook. And you could get today a netbook for $200, right? $250, you get a netbook that you could carry all over. So instead of fixing up the computer, I got a netbook. So now I have an old laptop. What can I do with it? So I made a gemach out of it. And we started lending it out. And some guys here in Machon Meir got their jobs because they had that laptop. They were able to get a job and work work for a company in Tel Aviv because they could have a computer where they could take back and forth and get the job. So very often you're left with something and you tell yourself, what am I going to do with it? At the same time, there was once a girl who broke her leg and she posted, I need a laptop because I'm stuck in bed. So we lent her the laptop. And I didn't know who she was. I got recommendations on who she was. And I took security deposit from her. And the deal was she's supposed to bring back the laptop to me. The 6 weeks pass when her leg's supposed to be healed and I don't get a phone call and I don't get a laptop. And every time I call her, for some weird reason, the phone gets disconnected. She's like, I don't understand it. You know, I got recommendations. I know where she works. I know where she lives. I have her security deposit. And she's not answering me and she's not calling me back. What am I supposed to do? So there was once a guy here in the Machon who had a car and he was in the army. He had this big gun on his back. And he said, I'd like to help with the different gemas you have. So I said, okay. Well, there's this girl who's not answering the phone. And there's no buses that go near her house. But if you don't mind driving over there and asking her if she'll give back the laptop. So he showed up and he thought, like initially she didn't answer the door. But he told me that his impression was that when she saw him with his big army gun on his back. And he said, you know, you're supposed to give me back a laptop. So she gave back, and she claimed it didn't work anymore. We formatted it, and it works. It served a few more people since then. You'll find you can make a gemach, but you have to be prepared for things like this. I can tell you that there are thousands of shekel that are owed to me because of gemachs. Thousands, not hundreds. Okay, it's par for the course. Just like any business, there's a certain loss involved. But it's not a loss. That's the business. Doesn't mean the people are right. I mean, the people who did it are wrong. She's dead wrong. You know, in Shemaim, she's going to pay for the anguish she gave me for nothing. I did her a favor. You know, she owed me. I didn't owe her anything. But that's between her and God. I did my gmach, fine. But whenever you do gmach, you have to be prepared. There are going to be nudniks. Okay, yeah.
There's gmach where you don't have to... return it, like there's gemachs of clothing where gemach in the base midrash of like pencils and like pens. You don't always have to return things to the gemachs, right? Sometimes it's like diapers, you're not expecting to return the diapers, right?
Right, okay.
I'm just asking.
You have to check each gemach. Once in a yeshuv, we needed a band-aid. Yeah, my son had a cut that started getting infected. I needed a band-aid and antibiotic cream. Pretty simple, right? In the Jewish quarter. So I went to the gemach there, and they told me, you could take a band-aid, but you have to pay back. Now, I wasn't ready for that. Like, pay back for a band-aid? I needed a band-aid. He had a cut. It was getting infected on Shabbos. We started seeing it filling up with pus. I needed to... And they wouldn't give me antibiotic ointment without a prescription. I was fortunate then that I was taking antibiotics. I was just after a tooth procedure in my mouth, so I was taking antibiotics in a capsule. And what you could sometimes do is open the capsule, and then you have the antibiotics on hand. So I opened the capsule, and I put that on the Band-Aid, and that works. Kids, don't try this at home. But, okay. I think it was like 20 agurot. But okay, look, if that's how the gemach works, you got to ask. You're right. You have to ask if they expect you to pay back. Motzei Shabbos, I went back there and I paid the 40 or 60 agurot for the 3 band-aids I took. Okay. You know, that's how the gemach works. That's how it works. Fine. You understand. If they're servicing thousands of people and they have to buy packs of band-aids every week, that could be their saying. We'll give you the service, but not for free. Okay. You know, there was a guy in yeshiva who used to open a pack of tissues and put a sign next to it, 10 agurot the tissue. So the first time I heard of it, I thought, what's wrong with this guy? But then I realized, he opens a pack of tissues, no one else does, there's a whole base medrash, 300 people, he could be opening a pack of tissue 3 times a day, just to service the whole base medrash. So he doesn't want to fund the whole base medrash taking his tissues. Okay, you know, I can understand that. When we do gemach, that's a good point, David. We have to find out if the gemach expects us to pay back, and sometimes... you'd be surprised. For a band-aid, they expect you to come back and give 20 agurot. Fine, that's legitimate. They don't owe you a gift. So he says, every person has to think how they could open up a gemach, how they could help other people. Al Shabbat v'chayotze, even if his loan is just about giving a loan of, let's say, 20 shekel for a week, gam ken umkayem b'ze mitzvah taseh deoraita shel im kesef talbe. You're still performing a biblical mitzvah by giving that loan. You gave a loan for 1 week, you gave 20 shekel, but that's a biblical mitzvah of giving a loan to your fellow man. Every person does in accordance with what he can afford. At the end of the day, Hashem doesn't gauge it by how much money you lend. The question is, did you do what you were able to do? If what you were able to do is to loan 20 shekel, someone else could lend 50,000 shekel. Well, in Hashem's eyes, the question is, did you do what you could have done? The question isn't how much you actually gave. You have a mitzvah to lend as much as you can lend.